These are the fables I reconstruct as the birds sing about the murder. Mystery, and then good night. Remember, I too am a monster. See here my avatar of chaos. I walked on knives to get here, and now my feet are maps, in case I forget how I got here. Melodies were their ammunition. Your fingers are crossed because you saw a white horse, and you have to keep them crossed until you see a black dog. Your eyes are drooping, darling daughter, and you're dizzy in the head. A Beethoven sonata can only mean horror. Notorious nest raiders. After it happened, I wanted to write love letters to everyone around me, but they ended up being love letters of doom. It was too hot, and too much had happened. We were silhouetted in the afterburn, or afterglow. A sweet, wild rippling. He fondled her ankle bones, mistook her hair entirely, and caught, mid-swarm, her shuttered face bloomed. He wrapped her in ermine and crowned her with poppies and pepperberry, taught her to sleep under trees, skirts spread to trap unicorn. Woe unto you, Sally Walker. Prince Downfall would be your undoing, your slow road to ruin. Believe what I tell. She lives in a cave haunted by the ghost of a giant fox. She answers questions in cryptic verse, and her answers are always true. She collects glamorous images and objects and transforms them into deeply personal manifestations, amusing French dolls and fawn gloves, Spanish combs, mantillas, a pocket full of hen's teeth, air pockets in bird bones, demons, and dust. From toys and treats to cages and towers. See, I thought he said homeless other people. A currency of tulips, a charm of goldfinch. We invent it and then put it into practice. Name the wires, wrap the walls in muslin. Less than gods, more than a registry. He keeps saying the mouse as if there were only the one, and I don't have the heart to correct him. A part of this world and a world of its own. It was time as a color or my life in miniature. It was sunrise and my feet got wet in the dew. It was all the moon did. It was haunted forests, rabbits and witches, marriages and birds, flowers and the like. It was a sheaf of little cocooning monsters in craypaws bookmarking the pages. They were only apples and snow and glass. And he wore the beak like a mask and held the bird like an infant. Flight calls and caroling. A period of screeching, a place to sleep inside my ear. Full glottal stop, an amazed face, and all you are is mine. So they winked and were glad as the day grew late. Gone beyond becoming, we filled the house with phantoms and called out monsters from the deep. Buried the dagger, illuminated the windows. Choked the blinded alley with most exquisite filigreed leaf and vine. An obscure and unlikely endgame. The birds opening, the stonewall attack, the hedgehog system, opposition and sister squares reconciled. So I want to thank Ryan and Stan for inviting me and for asking me, so Ryan emailed me and he said, so you're going to read with Haley, and I thought, great, because Haley and I have been trying to get in a room with each other for about 6 months and it hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. So if we read together, it will definitely happen, mm-hmm. and that will be good. And they said, you know, do you have any ideas who else you might like to read with? And I thought, I haven't seen Ethan Fugate in about 3 years, and if I say Ethan, then he'll have to come to Philadelphia. So that's also lovely, and I know you'll enjoy his reading very much as well. So I'm going to read some pieces of the creepy fairy tales I was talking about earlier. Some of which I read with Kyle Connor, who I think was responsible for me meeting Ethan originally. So that's the end of my 6 degrees of Philadelphia poetry. but about a year ago, but since then they've tweaked and changed a little bit. Now they're finally finished. So, yay. And they're called Maps and Legends. When late one night, the boy with the milk teeth comes to your window, do not follow him unless you care for housework and mending. When he asks for a kiss, give him a silver thimble on a red ribbon, for he won't know the difference. Likewise, when one claiming to be an angel approaches, be very suspicious. Ask questions. Know your words are stronger than his, for this will confuse him. Know your arguments are stronger than his, for this will confound him. Be polite, but insist he disclose his mystery and then send him on his way. Upon waking in the morning, put 3 coins and an apple in your satchel and a compass on a chain around your neck. Hang your key from the wind chimes in the backyard. Close the gate to the green fence and walk west to the river. When you reach the bank where the soil becomes sandy, bury a coin to ensure your safe return. Follow the river, which will lead you to the forest. Count the yew, which the great chain of being designates the lowest form of tree. Pay no attention to this strict hierarchy, but fill your pocket with its berries. Measure distance in hours. There's a dark path through the dark woods, and it leads to a dark house lit only by a fireplace, and there lives the crone. Go inside, and she will offer you her secrets. She will tell you 3 things, and the 3rd thing is, the owls are not what they seem. The 2nd thing is, dragons don't dance and they don't smoke cigars. The 1st thing is, when you're dead, you can have all the ponies you want. Don't believe her, but when she asks you for your apple, give it to her. Warm yourself by her fire. Rest. The prince of the forest walks upright on legs like a deer, has small horns curving through dark curls, and he takes his job very seriously, will insist on guiding you through the woods, his hand resting lightly low on your back. He will tell you about the Onceler Queen, her archery skills, her auguries and arguments, and how she finally left the wardrobe for good, colored her mouth and went out dancing. And about the girl who grew, who abandoned flight and ultimately shuttered her windows against the chill, lit candles, poured wine into goblets, wrote not in ink but in a golden splash. He will say, and lived happily ever after. And he will confide that the Onceler Queen was last seen drawing the threads of a mourning veil on her face with black eyeliner. And that the girl who grew submits to spells of sudden sadness every spring. You will roll your eyes and dismiss the idea of a punishing mood, and he will tell you you're missing the point. He will show you the fiery heart where his sleeve should be and offer you a quill. You could write your name there. Stay with him. Maybe take up yoga or knitting. At least until the letter smudged and dissolves into rivulets encircling his wrist. Whistle past the graveyard and think how strange to find a graveyard in the middle of the deep dark woods. When the handmaid sitting on a pile of stones beckons you, go to her. Her smile will be warm and her face will be familiar, so when she offers her hand, take it. She will say, squeeze my hand how much it hurts. She will say, if it starts to hurt too much, you can turn back. No one will think less of you for it. Later, you will remember this when the tightness in your chest spreads to your fingertips. You will hold your own hand and squeeze, and only then will you remember how to breathe. Walk away from the lake, boots in hand, the grass is soft here. Watch the moon rise in the pale sky. Lie down, the grass is so soft here, and sleep, and dream of a woman holding a scepter culminating in a cuckoo. She will look a little bit disappointed to be there. So will the peacock guards surrounding her. She will tell you other people's dreams are never very interesting. She will suggest you dream instead of snakes, of blood, of bugs, assuring you that these are all portents of good luck. Her face will be weary but wise, and the scepter, it must be an indicator of something, so ask her to tell your fortune. She will sigh and smooth your hair. You will be spending time outdoors, in the forest, near water. And when you roll your eyes, she'll pull your hair sharply and demand, if everyone cut off their heads and stuffed their mouths with asafoetida and buried their hearts at the crossroads, would you? And you will say, probably. Look, she'll tell you, you've been hoping for real toads in imaginary gardens. What if, after all this, you find yourself on a beach of cinders under a white sky? Wouldn't that all be just a little embarrassing? Awaken to see the moon high across the trees and peacock feathers scattered on the ground around you. Pick up the book lying beside you. Read. There's a girl made of ice in Love of the Beast. She's walking into the woods at night with her throat exposed, with nothing in her hands. When the bluff is called, she will either be killed or the masks will slip and she will relax for the first second ever. And she'll take her heart from its velvet-lined box and give it to the beast, and it will beat so fast, and the sun will come out, and his monstrous form will fall away, and her ice will melt, and the briars retreat, and she will fall into his arms, and his kiss will wake her, or she will shatter into a million pieces. Whether this is a happy ending or not is dependent upon whether you are a girl or a beast. Thanks.
We're going to take a short break, about 10 minutes, and so coffee and tea is upstairs, and the bathroom is upstairs. We'll see you all back here in 10 minutes, and you can tune in.